Testing, of course, is what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew 24:14-21, when he outlined the terrible events of the tribulation period that the Jews will face in a future day. The keeping is not to sustain them, but a promise that they will be kept out of those trials. You know, the big statement about people, that people make about we must go through part of the tribulation is the fact that they hold to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel just before he passed to the cross, where he prayed for the believers. And he told them that they will face tribulation in the world. And that's true. Every true believer at some stage will face tribulation and testings concerning their faith in Christ. But the testing and tribulation that comes upon the believer never comes from God. It comes from the world. The world rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said in John's Gospel. Therefore, they're going to reject you. And therefore, we have to be careful about this view that we have to go through trials and tribulations in order to be purified. That testing will come from the world. Sometimes, mind you, the Lord does send things across our path if he sees us on the wrong way. And those will come from the Lord, but in general, the persecution, testing that the world faces, comes from the devil and the world itself. Well, all of these verses give us the reason for the rapture, to rescue us before the tribulation becomes. And then he adds this wonderful word of encouragement, behold, I come quickly. The certainty of the rapture. Again, this is a passage from the book from James. He says this, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. In this passage, James is addressing those who are abusing the poor and have become corrupted by their desire for the accumulation of wealth. That's the subject matter of what he's talking about. But he then encourages these faithful people by this statement. There's the assurance of his coming, under the coming of the Lord, and the fact that it is ever drawing nearer. But you know, there's a sense in which James is saying, have patience in waiting for it. You know, when the apostles met with the Lord Jesus, or the disciples rather, they weren't apostles at that stage, when the disciples met with the Lord Jesus Christ, just prior to his ascension, do you remember what he said and they asked him in the book of Acts? Will you at this time establish the kingdom? Well, their expectation was this. Christ had died, Christ had risen. What was the next event in the prophetic program for them as Jews? The millennial kingdom. They did not see all of the delay and the church building of the church age. They couldn't at that stage. It's up to Paul to reveal that, and that doesn't come for a number of years. They expected the kingdom, but the Lord Jesus Christ gave them the answer. You remember what it was? Didn't say, no, it's not coming, it's delayed. He says, but I want you to go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem, in Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Their ministry was to build this new body of people, the church, which in effect they had no conception about at that time. So here there is always going to be a delay. Let me read it in the way here as we've expressed it in the Greek would express it. Be patient, waiting steadfastly. You know, we can have patience and you sit there and you patiently wait for something. But in your patience, the Greek has it in the thing that you need to be steadfast in what you believe while you're waiting. Don't just sit back and say, well, yeah, it'll happen in time, it'll happen in time. there has to be a steadfastness about our belief. Hold fast to what we believe. Don't be discouraged if things happen around us that don't meet our expectation. Patiently, steadfastly wait. Therefore, brethren, until the time of the coming of the Lord. It is a firm event in the Greek language. It means it is definite. It will arrive. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, has been progressively drawing nearer. And isn't that true? 2,000 years have passed. It's still progressively drawing nearer. But as we look at the age in which we live, it seems to be accelerating quite fast as we near the end of the age. The certainty. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Familiar verses which you know. Here, as he faces the cross at the Last Supper, he gives these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then the certainty of that, he adds this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He makes this wonderful promise. He will return. Literally again in the Greek it says this, I will be coming again. There is an assurance and a certainty about that promise. To receive, it's in the personal and familiar tense. So it's the fact that he will personally come and he will personally receive them unto himself. These are wonderful thoughts here. Let's go to the church of Thessalonica, because the two letters that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians are predominantly to first correct errors that have reached the church or have come into the church about the future of the church. And he writes two letters in correction, although he has other things to say about them. Remember, this is what happened to the Thessalonican church in the book of Acts, for it tells us this. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging three things: that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You know, it's interesting to note that in almost every message in the book of Acts, the great feature of that message is resurrection. You know, they preached the Lord's death, but they preached his resurrection. Why? Because if Christ doesn't rise, our faith is vain. If he hasn't risen from the dead, what assurance do we have? Therefore, it was an important part of their ministry in the book of Acts. So here, so this is something about what the church said. He said about them. He said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith, labour of love. You know, every believer in Christ should exhibit the characteristics of this new formed church. Faith. How did these people know what Paul taught was true? It's the same of us today. They're only taking Paul's word for it. And so it's by faith. They experienced faith and trust that they were now part of the family of God. And then they'd enter into a labour of love. You know, this is one of the difficult subjects sometimes that we need to clarify. We know that salvation does not come by works. You cannot work for your salvation. There are many good people in the world today, but their works, good though they are, will never bring them to salvation. But on the other hand, you have to question the salvation of people if they don't see their faith being worked out in their lives. And this is one of the things that I think here we need to note. They had a labour of love. Faith should always lead to works. If it doesn't lead to works, what's our faith all about? This is what James said. faith without works is what? Dead.